This is a Triple J podcast.
Butthole is gender neutral. It's just a butthole. We all have butthole.
So the chat that you're going to hear today is a chat that I'm really excited about. You've probably seen her in your TikTok feeds. Dr. Tara, she's got 2 million followers and yeah, just millions and millions of views over all of the like really incredible sex education that she sends you in little love bites, which is what her podcast is called as well. She's a tenured professor of relational and sexual communication at California State University and award-winning researcher. Dr. Tara, thank you so much for chatting to me today on the Hookup.
Thank you for having me. Are you having an orgasmic day?
I am having an orgasmic day. The sun is shining. You're in LA.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the weather's like where you are, but it is finally sunny in Melbourne for the first time.
Oh, I love sunny weather. Sunny weather makes me horny.
Right? Don't you reckon it fully just changes how you feel about yourself and just your day?
Exactly. Like when it's cold and rainy, I just want to like bundle up and like have a cup of tea, not, you know, giving someone a blowjob. Yes. When it's sunny and I'm feeling sexy and feeling myself, like, sure, let's all get pleasure, babe.
100%. 100%. A lot of the work that you do, Tara, which I'm really excited to chat to you about, is around sexual confidence. And I know that through talking to a lot of people through the Hookup, a lot of people who send us DMs and chat to us on the show, this is something that they really struggle with. I think a lot of people just have really mediocre sex, and that's something that we're going to like hopefully help for anyone listening today is how to have better sex and how to be more confident. But let's start from the absolute basics. Like how would you describe sexual confidence?
Sexual confidence is external. It's what you express. It's what you exhibit. It's what other people can observe and perceive. So that's your sexual confidence. You know, when people walk into the room or when they get naked and they just stand there like statuesque and they're confident, right? So people say, wow, like that person is so confident. They don't usually say, oh, wow, that person has high self-esteem, right? Because confidence is what you can see, is what you can feel, experience. So oftentimes when people say, Dr. Tara, I want to become more sexually confident. What do I do? What I say is, well, you need to increase your sexual self-esteem because that's internal. External is what you can do, right? So sexual confidence is how you express yourself. But in order to have high sexual confidence, you have to improve your self-esteem because your sexual self-esteem is the core of what you believe to be true about yourself. And your sexual self-esteem is particularly about whether or not you feel you are worthy of pleasure and connection and a good relationship. If you are someone who consistently fake an orgasm or not speaking up for yourself or having to please your partner without yourself getting pleasure, that could mean that you have low sexual self-esteem. And that's completely okay because I'm all about self-improvement and helping people understand like these things change all the time. Like there could be something big that happens and it totally, you know, your self-esteem totally crumbles, right? A research found that young people typically don't have high sexual self-esteem because it takes time to develop that sense of the trust in yourself, you know, the know that you're totally worthy of pleasure deeply. So yeah, it makes sense that young people may feel like they are not sexually confident.
Especially because I'm assuming that if you're young, you probably are having sex for the first time or you're just like, it took me years to even orgasm. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, you just don't really know what you're doing. And so it's hard to have sexual self-esteem because you're all just fumbling about trying to like figure out what's going on. So what are some ways, Tara, that you could, if you're listening right now and you're like, yep, this is me, I'm faking orgasms, or I find it really hard to ask what I want. What are some ways that you can build your sexual self-esteem?
Yes. So when I investigated sexual self-esteem, I actually studied this concept from 5,000 subjects. I really wanted to understand from like a big sample, because I didn't want to just get, five people to talk about their high sexual self-esteem, right? I want lots and lots of people to get like saturated data. What I found was there are a few practices that can significantly contribute to you developing a stronger, higher, better sexual self-esteem. The first thing is actually based on positive psychology literature. It's journaling. And do you already journal?
Yeah, I do. I do.
Yeah. What do you write about?
Usually my day. It's not often, but like I try to keep in the practice of just writing about days because I'm like, I want to remember certain moments. My memory is so shit. So like if something's happening, I'm like, I need to write it down. I need to remember and journal. And then also I'll journal to like work through stuff that I'm feeling and need help with.
Exactly. So with sexual self-esteem and confidence, you want to journal about the things that are perhaps triggering for you. Maybe your naked body is triggering for you. What we learn from research is at least 50% of someone's sexual self-esteem comes from their body image. So their self-perception of their own body. So if you have a negative body image, if you hate your body, you think you're ugly, you think you're fat, you think your dick is too small, you think, your vagina doesn't smell good, whatever it is, it's going to impact you negatively. So with journaling, we want to challenge some of these negative sex beliefs you have about yourself, particularly, maybe it's related to your bodies, maybe it's related to certain body parts, maybe it's related to your skills, maybe it's related to past relationship trauma, like if people have left you or ghosted you, and all of these things combined make you feel icky about yourself, right? You want to challenge these things as you journal, by writing down, like, what are some of the things that trigger me? And then, what does a good sex life look like, or what does it feel like in my body? And then write about things like, if I can design my own sex life, what does this entail? What does it look like, right? Is it having sex every day? Is it I want to have, a deep, pleasurable sex session with my partner once a week. And what does it look like for you? I think exploring just some of the basic ideas of sexual wellness can really help people start thinking more critically about what they want for themselves, and that will enhance their sexual self-esteem.
Yeah, what about exploring with masturbation as well? Because I feel like so many people, especially if you're young, you just don't know what you like or what you're into. So sometimes you might have sex before you even masturbate. And therefore, like, you're just going into this like act that you're not really 100% sure what you like and what you don't like. Could like self exploration be a way to figure that out as well and build up your self-esteem?
100%. That was going to be my second point, is mindful masturbation. So you're right on the money there. We learn so much by ourselves. We can learn and become sexually confident even without a partner. And all of that can be through things like mindful masturbation, sexual meditation, solo pleasure mapping. These are just some activities that you can do as a person alone in order to become more confident as a sexual being. So, yeah, you don't even need a partner to become confident.
What's sexual meditation and the mapping one as well? How do you do those?
Yeah, so sexual meditation is like a regular meditation practice, but it focuses on sexual thoughts, feelings, and sensations in the body. So if you like to meditate quietly, I recommend that you sit quietly, meditate, and touch different parts of your body and tune in to what kinds of sensations come up. If you don't like meditating quietly, I have a free guided sexual meditation on YouTube. Anyone can go on YouTube and follow my guide and do the sexual meditation. I have a 5-minute one and a 10-minute one. I think that sexual meditation is one of the most powerful strategies in becoming sexually confident. It's sad that it's not talked about more, but I know why, because it's free. It's not pharmaceutical, it's not something you have to pay for to get. There's so much research for those sex nerds out there. There's lots of research, but particularly from the research lab from the University of British Columbia in Canada, from Dr. Lori Brado. She's really well known for talking about sexual mindfulness and how mindfulness practices actually change people's lives. There is an experiment where people who enroll in this experiment reported having no sex drive, like zero sexual desire, like don't think about sex, don't want to have sex, don't like sex. And after a 2-week intervention, they were saying like, oh, wow, my sexual desire has increased. I mean, these are the people that had no interest in sex prior. And through this experiment and the intervention found that they felt more sexual, right? It's insane. Like you would think you'd have to take some pills to get there.
To get your
but
sex
no,
drive up.
You just eat yourself.
And what about mapping, Tara? What does that look like? Is that similar?
Yeah, it's so fun. I love mapping. I did mapping by myself with my previous coach before when I was, I think about 5 years ago. And it was so much fun. Then I brought the mapping with my to my partner and we did it together as well. So if you're listening and you're single, you can do it by yourself. If you have a partner, maybe invite them to do it with you because it's a fun activity. So pleasure mapping is when you allocate about 20, 30 minutes of your time, relax, lay down, and massage and caress different parts of your bodies and then take note of which part is super stimulating, like a fuck yes. And then which part is, can be good, but not all the time. So it's a maybe. And then, ooh, like don't like that feeling. It's a no. So this mapping situation or activity can help you not only gain your confidence because you know what you like, but also to communicate to your partner through an activity rather than just like giving them directives, right? Touch me here, which is fine too. I do that. But I think a lot of people find it awkward. So I think this activity helps you tell your partner indirectly like which parts are the best.
I love that. You could even bring it to your partner by recommending let's do massages and just like, you know, with oil and explore each other's body and figure out what like we like and what we don't like. Because like you mentioned, so many people find it awkward to say and communicate during sex what they're into and what they want their partner to do. And like you said, a lot of people fake orgasms, which, you know, can be related to like a low sexual self-esteem. So let's chat about communicating and how to have those difficult conversations. And like, you know, I've heard you talk about it as well, Tara. Like this is something that you struggled with back in the day, back in the past. And like, I think so many people listening find it really hard. It's like easier said than done. How do you work on that and like slowly build up your confidence to be able to communicate what you're into and what you like?
Yeah. So you're right. Like I used to feel super unconfident and borderline like anxious to even bring up anything sex related in my previous relationship. And I had to go through a lot of sexual empowerment exercises. And through my journey, I gain more and more and more confidence, you know, as time goes by. So it is not like a Viagra. It's not like you take a pill and then tomorrow you're sexually confident, but it is worth it. Like it's a worthy journey to go on because it will last forever. Like I can't imagine becoming less confident now because I feel so good of how much I understand myself. So I would say in order to become more sexually confident, to express yourself through communication, the practices that we just talked about, those are all going to help you become your sexual self. You know, feel good about yourself, know what you like, know what you want. And that is material to have a dialogue about. Because it's hard for people to just think about things to say when you don't even know what you like or want or want to discuss, right? So first do the groundwork of like, what do you like? What do you dislike? What do you want to explore? Some questions are, how do you feel about sex life currently from 1 to 10? Okay, I ask myself this. I also ask my partner this. I call this a sexy check-in. I do it once a month and I ask him like, how do you feel about our sex life this month? Right, from 1 to 10. And I give a number because a lot of people find it hard to articulate like a feeling. But if you ask them to rate 1 to 10, they can be like, okay, I feel like this month was a 6, right? It's easier to rate something. Right. And we do this regularly. We do this monthly. And sometimes he will say, you know, I feel like this month was a 6. I feel like we were really busy. We didn't have enough time to connect. And I just want like longer sessions that we usually spend together. And that allows us to like get on the same page. So, in terms of communication, ask yourself these questions and then bring it to the table with your partner. Another strategy that I also really like when communicating about new sexual things that I want to try is I will always start with a positive and then I will share my interest. So, a positive like, babe, like last night we had sex, it was so good. Like, I came so many times. Like, thanks for spending time on my body, right? Very positive, complimentary. Then I go, well, I heard on the hookup podcast, about sexual exploration, whatever it is, maybe what about like using a vibrator during penetrative sex. And it was so interesting because the sex coach on there said it can bring so much pleasure and actually can enhance like combo orgasm. What do you think about that? Right? So ask them for their opinion first rather than saying, I want this. Right? What do you think? I care about you. I care about what you think. I care about your input. So what do you think? And then let's see what they say, right? If they say like, oh, wow, never thought about that. Like, oh, okay, now it's a dialogue. Now it's much easier to continue. Like, ooh, should we like go to a sex toy shop together to pick up one or maybe go on a website? Like, I want both of us to pick one, right? Make it a couple's activity. All of this ensure that the conversation is much easier than you telling the other person what you want.
It's honestly such great advice, Tara. Like, it's, I think, so many people, like, I sometimes communicate where, like, I'll wait for things to build up, build up, and then I'll be like, you're doing this, or like, we're not doing this. And then it's not actually helpful because you make the other person shut down or you make them feel attacked. And it's like, you can have a conversation that like makes it fun and exciting and something that you're exploring together by just like being like, oh, I heard this. Like, what do you think? This could be really fun. And then just like waiting to see what they think. It's like, it sounds so easy when you say it.
There are times where it's tense because it's about an issue and it's not about introducing new things. If it's an issue, for example, with my current relationship with my husband, right? There are times where we're extremely busy and he feels like, for example, I do a lot of work on my phone. So I'm on my phone a lot. I'm on social media. I'm responding to comments. I'm reading things. If he feels neglected sexually, maybe he starts rubbing my shoulders and I'm like, oh, not right now. Like I'm responding to comments. He will immediately feel neglected, right? So then he has to bring that up to me. And then it's important for me to empathetically listen and hold myself accountable and say, you know what? I really, yeah, I noticed that. I notice I'm on the phone a lot and I'm sorry, right? And here are the things that I want to do differently tomorrow, today.
I love that. I love that. Honestly, communication helps so much. And I think that kind of like ties in a little bit with dirty talk. I think that's another thing that people struggle with, or we've had a lot of messages where people have brought up, like, I don't know how to even start, bringing that into the bedroom. What are your tips? Like, how can you start maybe like progressing from moaning to actually saying certain things, and what do you recommend saying?
Ooh, I do want to say that research, lots of studies found that dirty talk enhanced the sexual experience by a lot. So if you're not yet there, maybe this research finding can encourage you to even try one sentence during sex next time. And I'm a big fan of small and gradual rather than like all in, instead of, all in and go like, oh, I want to put my face in your pussy. Rather than that, right? Maybe start with something small, like you feel so good. Right, that's dirty talk as well. So there are different categories for dirty talk. The first category is compliments. Do you like hearing compliments during sex?
I'm such a praise kink girly. I'm like, yep, tell me I'm a good girl. Tell me I'm doing a good job. I'm just such a type A, give me a sticker. Tell me I've done well.
Yeah.
You know?
Is this sex A plus?
Yes. Tell me it's the best sex you've ever had.
Okay. So you really like praises and that turns you on a lot, right? Like some people like compliments about their body. So like maybe they are feeling some type of way about their bodies and they really want affirmations from their partner. So something like, oh, your tits look so good, can be extremely beneficial in enhancing their sexual experience for your partner, right? Like, oh, I love seeing your cock being so hard, right? So complimenting the body parts can help them feel even more confident in bed and all in. But you can also compliment their skills, like what you just said, like, oh, you're doing a great job, right? Some people really love that. But you can also compliment like what's going on in the situation. So like, oh, I just love being with you in this moment, or like just love fucking you in this room, or like love having sex with you in the car, right? You can kind of compliment the situation. So there's different types of compliments. So that's the first category. I think this is the most common and the easiest to get into. You feel so good is always so safe. Like, I think you can always say that. You feel so good. The second category is domination or domineering or instruction. So it's kind of all in the same genre of like giving someone a directive. So come over and bend over, right? Saying like, you're a dirty slut, like moan for daddy. My students are giving me examples when we go through these like concepts and I'm like, okay, what do you like to hear? Some of them give me examples and I'm like, what? Like make that ass clap. Make that ass clap.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen that a lot on TikTok.
Come on, babe, make that ass clap. I'm like, okay. I don't know how to do that, but sure. So there's giving directives, right? And then there's also submission. Like, I'm daddy's girl, or like, you know, oh, I love when you touch me like this. Like, I want to make you happy. Like, I want to make you come. So being a submissive, if you will, in a dirty talk. And then lastly, a question. If you're not sure what to say, does my cock feel good to you, right? How does my pussy feel? That, like, things like that is dirty talk, right? It's like saying these words can feel a little bit like derogatory and taboo, but asking a question allow for the other person to respond. So maybe it can create a little bit of a like dirty talk scenario between two people. So questions can be helpful.
Yeah, you're like inviting the person to join in, and then you'll kind of gauge as well if that's something that they're into. But you don't necessarily need them to reply, but you know, it's a good way to be like, yeah, let's see.
It can just be a rhetorical question.
Yeah. Exactly. Tara, something that you went absolutely viral for on TikTok was your video about edging. And I think that this is like something that's kind of come up a lot for like people who are listening to The Hookup, and seems to be something that I'm seeing a lot online. For anyone who doesn't know exactly what it is, like, what is edging and how do you bring that into your sex life?
Yes, edging is actually a sexual mindfulness practice, right? It's been popularized because it's a lot in the media and like the cartoons, like animation, but also on the internet, like TikTok. It's also like a lot on porn. So it's becoming more and more popular, but it is actually a part of a sexual mindfulness practice, just like meditation. So edging is a practice where you stimulate yourself to the point where you almost come, but you stop yourself and you don't. And it's like such a tease, right? Like whether or not you're masturbating or maybe you're having sex with a partner, you can edge either way. But I think it's a lot more common in the context of masturbation. So if you have a penis, you're stroking your cock and you're almost come, but then you stop yourself and you take deep breaths, right? And maybe you go back and masturbate again, but then you stop yourself again. Some people will do masturbation and then they will edge about 3 times. And there isn't necessarily a magic number. I've heard like masters that edge like for an hour. I don't have time for that.
Whoa. I'm like, surely you get sore at some point.
Exactly. I feel like my clit will die on me. She'll be like, Tara, I need like a warm bath. I need like a warm bath with like Epsom salts, girl.
Seriously.
Yeah. She will literally die. So yeah, I don't think I can do that. But I think I can do like 15 minutes. You know, I think I can do maybe 10 to 15 minutes.
And is it meant to make the orgasm bigger and more powerful?
Yes. So the idea is, well, two things actually. As a practice for sexual wellness, it's actually not ending in coming. Like you masturbate and you edge, and you just stop and you go to bed. And this practice is actually supposed to help you control your orgasm. Perhaps men can see the benefit easier than women, because for men, it's the ability to control their erection and how long they last, which is so important for a lot of men. When they come fast, premature ejaculation, it reduces their sexual self-esteem like a lot, right? So edging as a practice allows you to last longer and have a harder penis because you can control the erection easier. For women, it's also the ability to focus and control your ability to orgasm, perhaps clitorally or even vaginally. So there's that too. But you can also edge and then come. And that orgasm is supposed to be a lot stronger than just coming the first time. And I have edged like so many times by now, because there's many times where I masturbate with a vibrator and I won't, like I'll build it and I will stop and then I kind of go back and do it again. So I do that quite regularly, and I would say I have a very good control of my ability to orgasm. Like if I want to hone in and orgasm in like 5 minutes, I can. But I can also kind of chill and, you know, ride the waves and explore and come in 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
So cool. I guess that would as well tie into what we were talking about at the start, like your sexual self-esteem a little bit and your confidence, because you know a bit more about what your body likes to orgasm and how to get there and how to like chill out. And,
oh, you're so well.
Yeah. Another video that I really loved of yours, Tara, was that video you did about good sex doesn't require penetration. What are some of the things that, yeah, you have realized about good sex and it not involving penetration? Like what are some of the things that people could explore?
Oh, I just love non-penetrative sexual activity because it allows for connection without the pressure of always doing penetration. There are so many things. For example, research found that if you're just naked and cuddling, there's oxytocin being released, there's dopamine, there's serotonin. So naked cuddling has almost like similar results to having penetrative sex. So don't discount the other things that are not penetration, right? So I love naked cuddling. I love actually mutual masturbation. So like masturbating together in the same room and watching each other come. It's so hot. I love pleasure mapping, right? That's an activity that doesn't need penetration. It can even end with an orgasm, like if you stimulate like the clitoris or the penis. I also like rimming. I think rimming is like such a bonding activity because it's very taboo. People think, you know, butthole is dirty, it's taboo, maybe it's attached to a certain sexual orientation. When in fact, like butthole is gender neutral. It's just a butthole. We all have buttholes. Yeah. Like my barista at Starbucks has a butthole. Like, no buttholes. Like, you know, buttholes are not gay. Like, buttholes are just buttholes, and they have lots of nerve endings. And if it's stimulated by like massaging with lube or even like licking, it can feel really good and connecting because you feel like you're doing something kind of adventurous and taboo together. So that's also something I really like. And lastly, for those that are more artistic and like to explore with like tools, there's things like naked body paint. Like there's a naked body paint set that you can buy online. And it's like not expensive, like $30. And it literally, you just open up the sheet. You like, it's body safe paint. So you just paint your whole body, maybe cuddle with your partner, like roll around and have an artwork to show too.
Oh, I love that.
So fun. Yeah, there's just so many fun connecting things that are sex, but not penetration.
Totally. And like sex toys and like food, I love sex toys. And you know,
yeah.
You can like do oral, like you said, like Remy, you can do oral in so many different ways. Yeah, I just
nipple play can be so good. I know that for most women, nipple play is good, but also men.
I remember when we did a nipple play episode maybe a couple of months ago, and when we posted about it on Instagram, so many people were like, "Oh yeah, this is like the only way I can orgasm. This is the only way I can come." Like, it just is their biggest turn on. Yeah. So I just I think that modern media and porn, mainstream porn, everything just is so penetration and that's it. But there's so many ways that you can make your sex life so much more exciting. Cause at the end of the day, if you're monogamous and you're having sex with the same partner for years on end, it's you got to mix it up.
You never want to have the same kind of food every day for the rest of your life. Why would you want the same kind of sex for the rest of your life? Use the same philosophy. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I think that this, the work that you do, Dr. Tara, and this podcast will help so many people. And if you haven't already, go check out Dr. Tara on TikTok and her Instagram. Her podcast, Love Bites by Dr. Tara, you can get it on any platform that you find podcasts, like Spotify, YouTube, Apple. Check out all the stuff that she's got online on her website. Tara, honestly, it's been such a pleasure. I know I could talk to you for ages, because when you scroll through TikTok, the content is insane. Honestly, for anyone listening, go and have a look. There's so many hot tips. So if you are at the end of this episode and you're craving more, go have a look. But yeah, Tara, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, and have an orgasmic day.